It is so good to see everyone today. What a privilege to stop and take a few moments, worship our Lord and Savior on this Christmas 2016. I'm going to be sharing with you today. It's a unique message. I'm going to introduce you to a couple of songs. I'm going to share with you out of Jonathan Kahn's new book, The Book of Mysteries. This book ministers to my soul because I would like to do what he describes in this book. He describes just showing up in the desert. Didn't know how he got there, didn't know why he got there. He wrote The Harbinger, Jonathan Kahn did. And he runs into this rabbi, this teacher. And the teacher says unto him, why are you here? And he said, I don't know. He said, I just ended up here. He goes, how do people end up here? He said, well, seekers of the truth. They just find themselves here. And so I'm going to share with you some excerpts out of this writing that speak to the incarnation of Christ. So I wanted to go to another rabbi. And so in John chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. So I want you to understand something. A true rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, a true one, is a teacher come from God. God had those. For many hundreds of years, he provided those for the nation of Israel. For no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Let's go to Jesus. Father, as I come to you, I confess to you that I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I thank you for that salvation. And I thank you for grace. I thank you for reaching down from heaven to earth to save me in humility and in meekness. And so, Father, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I spent the last few moments next door confessing some of those sins to you out loud, saying unto you, you are right and I'm wrong. Asking to be washed by your blood and cleansed and not only anointed but changed by your Holy Spirit. I need my flesh to be changed, my thoughts. Anything evil in my body, soul, and spirit needs to be changed. And I need to have that light shined, your light, to dispel and displace the darkness. So, Father, we're here. And I pray for a Holy Spirit anointing on all of us. I pray for forgiveness on all of us. I pray that we will be seekers of you and seekers of forgiveness and seekers to be daily washed. As Peter said, you know, wash me, Lord. But if we've been born again, we've been washed, but our feet need to be washed daily. So thank you, Jesus. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit just takes over today. And Father, just move upon us. In your name we pray. Amen. As I've been reading the Book of Mysteries, one thing that I think I'm learning from the truly godly rabbis is this. Their depth and profoundness is their simplicity. So I just want to share with you 2 points today. Number one, Christmas is, from the viewpoint of a rabbi, and from this rabbi, Jesus, and from Jonathan Kahn, Christmas is heaven descending to earth. And I want you to keep that in mind because it's an important principle. And then secondly, I want you to realize, again from a rabbi's perspective, Christmas is God's presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Now that's where it gets personal. And we'll get to that. You know, people love religion. You know why people love religion? There's comfort in numbers. People love to go to church on Sunday morning. You know why? There's hundreds of us in here. We're all in the same boat. Matter of fact, we can feel real good at ourselves looking at other people who, hey, they're worse off than I am. But Emmanuel, God with us, God having a name, Yeshua, Jesus, makes it personal. And Christmas brings us face to face with God. You know what the shepherds had to do? They had to go see Jesus. 101, Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph, the wise men, Simeon, Anna, Zechariah, Elizabeth. Everybody in the Christmas story has a name, and they had to face the one that had the name Jesus. And so here's Nicodemus. Is he in the synagogue? No. Is he in some big assembly hall? No. Is he at the temple? No. He's one-on-one with Jesus in the dark of night. That scares the spiritual pants off a lot of people. Bro, well, I'm not scared to do it. Oh, I know you're not. Because you never do. Can't be scared of something you avoid. So this is how the rabbis, the godly ones, the messianic ones, would teach the Word of God. So what is the rabbi Jesus, how does he explain Christmas? Look at what it says in John chapter 3, verse 9. In verse 4, Nicodemus says, how can this be? How can a man enter into a womb when he's old? Then in verse 9, he says again, how can these things be? And Jesus says, are you a master of Israel? And you don't understand these things? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak what we do know. Who's we here? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We speak what we know and testify what we have seen. But you Jews don't receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And here's the hook, verse 13. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The Son of Man, the Son of God, came down from heaven. Would you say that with me? The Son of God came down from heaven. So I want you to get this today. The miracle of Christmas, is it a virgin birth? Certainly it is. But I want you to understand, He was pre-incarnate, He pre-existed, and Jesus Christ in the human form came down from heaven to take that human form. So the Son of God comes down from heaven. Heaven came down to earth. And I just want to nail that down for you. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Brother Leo, I've been baptized. Brother Leo, I joined the church. In John chapter 6, verse 47, it says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. That doesn't mean just believe in or believe about. That's part of it. It means to place your commitment to. You believe that's a chair you're sitting in. You know facts about the chair, but you committed to it when you sat in it, that it would hold you up. That's what pistos means, to believe to the point of committing your life to. To believe to the point of committing the authority of your life to Christ. When little Lacey came forward, I could feel from her spirit. She came in a spirit of commitment. You know, many folks haven't come in a spirit of commitment. They come because their friends got baptized, or they came because they thought it would please their parents. And so they've gone through life, never living a life under the authority of Jesus. You're going to die and go to hell. And so, wait a minute, Brother Leo, who said that? Jesus did. He said, many of you have called me Lord, Lord, but you've not done the will of my Father. You've not submitted to my will, my authority for your life. So notice what he says in verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which what? Comes down from heaven. All right, what are we studying? I'm the rabbi today. We're studying that Christmas is heaven coming to earth. So the living bread came down from heaven. Would you say that with me? The living bread came down from heaven. It's the manna from heaven. The analogy is the children of Israel when they went through the wilderness. Every morning they woke up, there was manna on the ground for them to eat. Say, Brother Leo, well, what does that mean? That means Christ will sustain you every day. But you got to seek Him every day, and you got to ingest the bread every day. Look at what He says. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So when you make a commitment to what Jesus did for you on that cross, you take within you the bread of heaven. The Holy Spirit comes in. Religion's outward, relationships inward. And it's a relationship that comes down from heaven. Go with me to Isaiah 45. And this is what the rabbi because the rabbis in the days of Jesus didn't have a New Testament. They were quoting the Old. And in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 8, the Scripture says this. Drop down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created righteousness. The righteousness comes down from heaven to the earth. God's righteousness. Verse 5, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Verse 6, that you may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Righteousness comes down from heaven like sunlight comes down from the sun. Now, I was working on this yesterday morning. Right as the sun was coming up over the tree line. And as I was reading that verse, I noticed that I was being bathed in sunlight. And as I was being bathed in that sunlight, I said, that's it. That's it. You know, that's the mentality. That's what you got to believe. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot do things in your own energy. You have got to receive the sunlight from heaven, the righteousness from heaven, the work from heaven. It's not about attaining righteousness. It's about receiving God's righteousness. Look at Isaiah 55. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. What does that mean, Brother Hill? That means I don't need to figure this thing out. I need Him figuring it out for me. I don't need to do this my way. I need to seek His way. And then notice what he says. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down to the earth from heaven, and the snow comes down from the earth to heaven, and returns not thither, it waters the earth, the earth takes it in, it absorbs what's coming down from heaven. And in verse 11, my word that comes to you, if you will absorb it, you will bear fruit in your life. So the rabbi teaches, we're just to receive what the Lord has for us. But we want to work. We want to try. It was mid-afternoon. We were sitting outside in a desert plain, and the teacher, he was pointing to the sky. Look, said the teacher, the heavens that you can see. They are a shadow of the true heaven where the Holy of Holies is.
And then he asks, how do you get there? He asked me directly, how do you get into heaven? And I said, teacher, most people would say, you get into heaven by doing good deeds. Yes, he replied, most religions would say that. If you do enough good works, if you avoid evil, then you get into heaven. But is that the way? I said unto him, you would say it's not. And then the teacher said, if it's based on what we do, then the source of our salvation is ourselves. It's earthly. Then we'd have never needed a Savior to come down from heaven. Jesus would never have been born. And if we could save ourselves by ourselves, then what's the need of Jesus? How can the solution come from the one who stands in need? I'm the one that needs salvation. How can the answer come from me? Well, if you'll do this, no, it can't come from me. It's like telling a drowning man that if he would only swim well enough, he could save himself. But if he could swim well enough, he wouldn't be drowning. It's like telling a drowning man, if you can swim well enough, you can save yourself. But if he could swim well enough, he wouldn't be drowning. So then what's the answer? I asked the rabbi. The answer is that the problem can never supply the answer for itself. Only the answer from heaven can answer. The earthly can never attain the heavenly, so the heavenly came and attained the earthly. We couldn't reach heaven. That's what Jesus said. No man has ascended into heaven, but I'm the man that descended from heaven. And that's what he told Nicodemus. What do you mean, I asked? Salvation can never come from earth to heaven. Salvation comes from heaven to earth. All these hands that are reaching up to heaven through religion will never make it. Through works, they will never make it. The answer is radically different. It's one hand reaching down from heaven to earth. So you've got millions of people in buildings today and they're reaching their hands up. The answer must come from God. So salvation doesn't end in heaven, it begins in heaven. That's Christmas. You got to understand. Everybody thinks I get saved and then I go to heaven. No, the answer came from heaven first. So it's not about getting into heaven, I said to the rabbi. No, he said, it's about allowing heaven to get into you. It's about allowing heaven to get into you. Heaven coming down to us. The descent of heaven. The heavenly visiting the earthly. The heavenly one, capital O, the heavenly one, Jesus, becoming earthly so that you, the earthly, can become the heavenly. I said, Rabbi, so it's not about attaining anything? It's not about working for anything? It's not about attaining anything? And he said, no. It's about receiving. It's about receiving Jesus. And when you receive Him, you receive everything. The mission for today, he gives the mission. There's 365 of these. Make it your aim today not to strive for heaven, but to let heaven to let God's love, to let God's joy, to let God's peace, to let God's forgiveness, to let God's servant to get into you. And so that's the teaching of the rabbi on the descent of heaven. No man has ascended, but Christmas is the Son of God descending to earth. Now let me show you another one. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Christmas is the presence of God on earth. And if you're on earth, the presence of God is around you. If you're a born-again child of God, the presence of God is in you. So, two brief, short messages. Number one, Christmas is heaven descending to earth in the form of the babe of Bethlehem. And Christmas is God's presence, and this is why people run from the presence of God. Because He's the light. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Scripture says this, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt here on earth. God came and dwelt on earth. Would you say that with me? God came and dwelt on earth. That's fabulous. That's a great thing to say. I can just sit and say that over and over. I can't. And just get filled up. But notice what it says in verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." So He made the world, and He came. The Creator came. The Creator of the world came into the world. That's Christmas. The Creator of the world came into the world. That's Christmas. But notice what it says in verse 11. There are only two people on the face of the earth today. Two people fit in these categories. Number one, in verse 10, the ones that received Him not. And then the other group in verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the liberty, and the authority to become the children of God." So you've either received Jesus or you've not. And so what's the question, Brother Leo? The question is, where do you stand with this Jesus, this babe of Bethlehem, this Christ of Calvary? Where do you stand with Him? Well, you know, I grew up in church. Anytime somebody says that to you, they're lost. Brother Leo, you really believe that? I believe in the majority of situations. Somebody says to me, "Well, I grew up in church." Now, that's not what I'm asking. "Well, you know, when I was 13, I got baptized. Me and a bunch of my friends." No, that's not what I'm asking you. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And the reason, you can't separate Him, okay? Jesus, I'm going to play you a song in a moment that drives home that point. Jesus is Lord. All right, we just sang. I think we're going to do Silent Night here in a little bit, the Chris Tomlin version of it. But the bottom line is, He's Lord at Bethlehem. He was Lord pre-incarnate. So the presence of God in the world. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. And this is how a rabbi would teach Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All right? Savior and Lord. People want to be saved from hell. People want to attach Jesus Christ to their own selfish lives. That doesn't work. And the beautiful thing, once you give Christ the authority over your life, it takes a lot of the pressure off. Because then I know I've got the Lord making these decisions, handling these things, and you're never going to get, you know, so terrified. You're going to say, Lord, I'm just trusting you. I know you're taking care of me. But you can't say that if you've not come to Jesus. But notice what happens. In verse 16, they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger here on earth. You will find him here on earth. And this is where our New Testament salvation begins. This is how God solved my problem with sin. And I'm going to teach you what a rabbi has to say about that. But I want you to think about that for a moment, because this principle will change your life, and it's brief. How did God solve the sin problem on earth? Let's think about that a moment. Let me give you one answer. It's wrong. He could have just taken away all the sin. With the breath of his mouth, he could have taken all sin away. It was early evening, just after dinner. The teacher and I were sitting by the campfire along with others, and he held up an empty cup. And he said, this is an empty cup. How do you get rid of an empty cup's emptiness? Not a complicated question. How do you get rid of an empty cup's emptiness? Only one way. By filling it up with water. So the teacher went over to the fountain. He filled the cup with water. He held it again. He said, we have successfully totally removed the emptiness out of this cup. It is overflowing with water. Then he said, we removed it not by focusing on the emptiness in the cup or by concentrating on removing emptiness. We removed the emptiness by simply filling the cup with water. A simple solution, yet profound, and even revolutionary if you apply it to all areas of your life. How did God accomplish salvation, he asked. Did he remove all evil from the world? No. Salvation came through his presence coming into the world. By Emmanuel, God with us. I thought for a moment, then I replied, by pouring water into the cup, teacher. Exactly. He didn't take away our problem. He didn't take away our problems. He didn't take away our sins. He didn't remove them all out of the world. He did something better. He gave us a solution. He poured the answer into the world. Salvation is not the absence of sin. Would you say that with me? Salvation is not the absence of sin. All of you can say amen to that, right? Because a lot of you are saved and you know that's true. Salvation is not the absence of sin. It is the presence of God. Salvation is the presence of God in me. Would you say that with me? Salvation is the presence of God in me. Would you say it again? Salvation is the presence of God in me. One more time. Salvation is the presence of God in me. That's all it is. Romans chapter 8 says, if you have not the Holy Spirit in you, you are none of His. You don't belong to Him. And you only receive the Holy Spirit when the Lord looks at your heart and says, okay, I see you, old boy. You're making that commitment to me now. You're turning over the authority of your life unto me. And at that moment, from heaven's glory, He sends the Holy Spirit, that's Galatians 3, into your heart. And everybody that's had this experience knows it. Whether you had it 12 or 22 or 70. It's Yeshua. It's the Emmanuel solution. What does that reveal? God sending Jesus into the world. What does that reveal? You don't overcome darkness by focusing on the darkness. I want you to think about that a moment. You don't overcome darkness by focusing on the darkness. You overcome the darkness by focusing on the light. You don't overcome sin by dwelling on sin. You overcome sin by dwelling on God and His righteousness. So you start out every morning, you get the Word of God, you eat a little bit of the bread of life, you ask the Holy Spirit, as Paul said, take my thoughts under the captivity of the Holy Spirit, and then you ask Him, I'm saying again what Paul said, let me think on those things that are pure and righteous and good and loving and patient and kind. And then all this stuff starts filling you up. And what does light do? It dispels the darkness. You don't overcome fear by focusing on your fear. You overcome fear by focusing on how powerful your God is. And then you say, God, you can take care of this. And then you say, God, you got this. And God, I'm going to trust you. And that's what the rabbi is trying to teach us. You overcome your emptiness by dwelling on His presence, by being filled with His answers. You overcome sorrow by receiving His joy. You overcome hate by receiving His love, evil by receiving His righteousness. Apply this secret and it will change your life. If there's someone you're having a hard time to forgive, if there's someone you got bitterness in your heart about, don't focus on that. Just ask Jesus to fill you with His love and forgiveness. And you know what He's going to say to you? He's going to say, remember when I was on the cross? And I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then you'll say, well, if you could say that, Lord, and you're in me, I know this can be done through your power. I've already fallen once today. Apply this secret and it will change your life. Overcome any evil, anything that's not of God, by applying the opposite. Would you just say that? By applying the opposite. By applying it. So, and what is the opposite of evil? God's good. Yeah. What is the opposite of something not being of God? Something that is being of God. What's the opposite of fear? Faith. Amen. So here's the mission. Apply this day the Emmanuel solution. Overcome whatever problem you may have with the opposite. Overcome bitterness with forgiveness, hate with love, and evil with righteousness. The Book of Mysteries, Jonathan Cahn. I'm going to change gears now, and if you're listening by internet, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're going to use some copyrighted material, but I say to you and I say to those that are in this building, two things to focus on this day. Christmas is heaven came down to earth. Heaven came to me. Jesus came to me to take me to where He was. And then secondly, Christmas is all about God's presence in earth. And you know why it means so much to us personally? Because He just didn't come to the world. He came to us as individuals. And so we praise God for a rabbi's view of Christmas.